The name of the church slips my mind. Living Water Church there. His wife, Anita, didn't come with him this weekend, so she is at home with their youngest son, Ethan, and they have five children, three at home yet, and one grandchild. He works in the Gospel Echoes office, and he is involved in leadership with our BMA alliance that we're part of as a church. And so we're grateful to him for being willing to come and be God's servant to us for this week of meetings. And we trust that God's going to speak through him to our hearts and what God has laid on Todd's heart. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and just invite God's presence again this evening. Father God, we thank you for your promise that where two or three are gathered together, you will be there among us. And Father, we do invite your Spirit to come and work in our hearts. Lord, we long to have you minister to the needs that are there, and you know the needs. And so, Lord, I pray that you would direct Todd by your Spirit to share the words that would draw us to you and point us to you. And so we pray that you would anoint Todd in a special way for his work this evening and this week. And it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Bless Thank you, Tom. Brother. Well, good evening. I have spent around 25 years in prison ministry. And oftentimes when we go to prisons, and a number of you have been involved in prison ministry, we would oftentimes start out the service by saying, "Let the church say amen." And then the church would say, and say, "Let the church say, praise the Lord. Let the church say, hallelujah." Okay. I'd like to have audience response to make sure that you're still out there and that you're awake and that you're listening, not to me so much, but to the voice of the Lord as he wants to speak to us this week. I am really privileged, counted a privilege to be here this week. And I was here one other time for a BMA board meetings, and that's the only time that I have been at Wummelsdorf, and that was to the building. It wasn't to the church. You know the difference, don't you? But your church did host that. And we appreciate you in the BMA, and it's a joy to be able to get to know you better this week. And so when Brother Randy asked if I would come, I said I would, and appreciate the opportunity to postpone it from when you usually have it. I think we were talking in March, and it might have been a little bit more conducive weather for revivals to get people inside. But we had the privilege about for 2 weeks to be in Israel. My wife and I did. And so we just returned from the land of the Bible. And we just had a wonderful, wonderful time there. And our daughter is there with the BMA Jewish ministry team. And so we were able to spend several days with her as well as take a week on a tour there. And so we just are full of the goodness of God and want to share with you this week whatever God lays on our hearts. I appreciate so much that you as a congregation have been praying. I asked for a team of prayer warriors for this week, and you have been praying, and I've been praying for you as well. I am married to my first wife. Last wife, she has been my bride for 31 years. Her name is Anita. God has blessed us with five children. Our oldest daughter is 27, I think. Anyway, she's married and gave us our first grandchild. Second daughter is 25, and our oldest son is 19. Our youngest daughter is 17, and then our youngest son is 12. And so they keep life interesting and full of many challenges and much enjoyment. I pastor at Living Water Congregation, have for 15 and a half years since the congregation began in 1999, and serve alongside two assistant pastors and a deacon. And so they're taking care of things at home this week. Pray for them, pray for my family, and I appreciate that very much. I don't necessarily have something as a theme for this week, but if there were to be a theme that has been running through my mind and my heart of late, the last month, the last months, the last year, the last several years, that would be the theme of the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the kingship and the authority of Jesus Christ in the life of His church and in the life of His people. And I would like to just share with you this evening about the name of Jesus. The name of authority, the name which is above every name. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and will bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Say that with me tonight. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we want to talk to you this evening about the name of Jesus, which speaks of His character, which speaks of His authority, and which speaks of His power, and about coming under that authority as believers. And allowing the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereignty of God Almighty, the authority of the Holy Spirit, and the authority of the Word of God to so mold and make and shape and fashion our hearts and our minds that we might be pleasing to God and glorify God and express His glory to those around us. And so this evening I'd like to ask you a question. What does it mean to live under the authority of the name of Jesus? What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? What does it mean to serve in the name of Jesus? What does it mean to preach in the name of Jesus? In fact, I could even go so far as to ask you this evening, by what authority do you have this church here? Who authorized this church? You know, that's becoming a big deal in our culture because of the anti-Christ mentality that is setting into hardening our culture. What gives a Christian a right to exist? What gives a church a right to exist? What gives a Christian a right to say, we're speaking the truth? On what do we base the truth? And these are very important questions in our day, where truth is becoming something that is easily discarded by not even believing that there is a truth. So what does it mean to, who authorizes your church to do what it does? Who authorizes you to pray and to come to the Father's throne? Who authorizes you to preach and to sing? Some of you are involved in singing ministry. Who authorizes that? Well, we do it in the name of Jesus. And what does that mean? I listen to how people pray. And what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? In fact, one of the things that really I listen for, because is how freely we use our Lord's name when we address Him. You know, some people will talk about God and they'll talk about the Lord, but they have difficulty using Jesus' name. Jesus' name. For some reason. But the Lord has authorized us to use His name, and I want to talk to you about what that means this evening. So if you turn in your Bibles to the book of John, the 16th chapter, there is several verses that I want to share with you this evening about the authority of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Jesus is teaching His disciples on His way to the cross. He is giving them His last minute instructions about His kingdom as His life is winding down and He's ready to go to the cross. His ministry here among them is winding down. And He's talking to them about some things that it's difficult for them to understand. He's talking about seeing them and then them seeing Him. And then in a few days or a little while, He says, "You won't see me. And then in a little while, you will see me." And that happened when He was crucified. Of course, they saw Him die, and then they buried Him, and they didn't see Him for 3 days and three nights. And then they saw Him again for a period of 40 days. And then He ascended up into heaven, and they haven't seen Him since, or at least those mortals of us who are still on the earth, until we go to be in His presence. And yet He says one of these days He will come again, and we will see Him. And He gives us some instructions in the meantime about the authority that we have with His name. And so they kept asking amongst themselves, what is this? What's Jesus talking about here? They said, "What is this that He saith?" In verse 18, "A little while. We cannot tell what He says." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him, and said unto them, "Do you inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while and you shall not see shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day, now we come to the part where we want to share with you this evening. And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever ye shall ask the Father in my name. There you have it. There you have it. In my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am now come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, this is very similar to what he had just said in chapter 14. If you want to just turn back there, we look at chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Those are some of the most misunderstood verses in all of the New Testament. And I'd like to share with you this evening what I believe about praying, preaching, ministering, doing kingdom business in the name of Jesus. First of all, we have to understand what the significance of names is. Names in Scripture are a reflection of character. They're a reflection of a person's character. They are a reflection of events or a person's experiences. When you come to the Scriptures and you read about the life of Abraham, and you read about him naming places, it was a reflection of the character of the man, and it was a reflection of the experiences that he had, that God had gave him. In fact, even the name Abram was signifying what kind of man he was. The name Abram means high father. Abram was a powerful, influential, wealthy man. But when God encountered Abraham and Abraham encountered God, God changed his name to his covenant name, which is Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Now that's interesting, seeing how he had only two sons, one of which was really a son legitimately in the sense of God's promise. And so he had a man who has been renamed by God to be a father of a multitude, and he has two sons. Interesting. But God had made a covenant with him. This was Abraham's covenant name. In fact, then you go into the name Jacob. And Jacob means supplanter or heel catcher. Now, how his parents knew what his character was going to be like when he was born, the only evidence they had was that when he was born, his hand came through and was holding on to the heel and ankle of his brother. And so they named him heel catcher Jacob. Of course, God changed his name to reflect his experience and his covenant with God to the name Isaac. Isaac, which was prince with God, Israel. Israel, which means prince with God, he will rule. One who struggles with God and overcomes. And so Israel's name was then a reflection of his experiences with God. Many of the places where people named certain names of certain places was a result of their character, their experiences in that place. In fact, Naomi, one of the most interesting transitions of names, not from a negative to a positive, but from a positive to a negative. She said, "You used to call me Naomi, which meant pleasant, but now you should call me Mara, which means bitter." Her experiences had embittered her and had been bitter with her. Now, when it comes to the name Jesus, When it comes to the name Jesus, we know that his name reflects his character. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus, or Yeshua in Hebrew, Hebrew name is Yeshua, the English translation would be Jesus, means Savior. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, for there is none other name given among heaven, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. The name Jesus, a reflection of his ability, of his relationship, of his covenant with us. And of course then, his title being Lord, Jesus Christ. Christ being the Greek form of the Hebrew term Messiah, Christ, Jesus the Christ, speaking of his divinity, Jesus being his human name, and Lord being his title. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4 says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And over in the New Testament, he talks about using his name, about doing things in his name. He talks about giving a cup of cold water in my name. He talks about people doing miracles or baptizing in his name. You recall the time when the disciples came to him and said, Lord, there's people baptizing in your name and they're not part of our group. And Jesus said, if they're not against us, then they're for us. And so Jesus told them to kind of back off because they were using his name. Who uses our name cannot soon speak against us. So we establish here in the biblical context that the name of something or someone is a reflection of their character and a reflection of their experiences and the covenant that they enter into. The second thing that we know about names, biblically and scripturally, is that it is a delegation of one's authority. To use a name, to use one's name, is to have a relationship with that authority and be empowered and authorized to use that name. Now, when I come to you as an employee, as an officer of Gospel Echoes team, that's my employer, that's my ministry, I'm leadership level there with the Gospel Echoes team. I can speak to you, or I could speak to you, as an official representative of Gospel Echoes. I could speak to you as an official representative of the Living Water Mennonite Church. I could speak to you as an official representative of the Biblical Mennonite Alliance. I can't speak to you in the name of the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't have any authority there. I don't have any relationship with the Southern Baptist Convention. I can't speak to you in the name of the Assemblies of God or the Nazarene Church. I can't speak to you in the name of, Door of Hope, the ministry, Light of Hope. I can't speak to you in that name because I have no relationship there. I have no authority there. But the name of Jesus speaks of authority because he is in authority. Jesus is the authority. Now, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Very familiar passage of Scripture, especially verse 6. But do you ever get to verse 7? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government. It speaks of authority. The authority will be upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And his name. What? He's talking about his name. A reflection of his character. A reflection of the way that he interacts with his people. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Interesting how the names corresponding with Jesus are those which are used of the Father, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, synonymous. I believe there we have the Trinity, the first and second person of the Trinity. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In other words, what we have in the name of Jesus is a position of authority. A position of authority. Jesus is that authority. And under that authority, He authorizes us to pray to the Father. He authorizes us to preach. He authorizes us to plant churches. He authorizes us to baptize. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations and preach the gospel to all nations and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. I authorize you as disciples and as the even the pre-Pentecost congregation there on that mountaintop, to go as my representatives under my authority and do kingdom business. Do kingdom business. And so Jesus is the name of authority. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him in His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And so we see in Scripture that a name speaks about the character and experiences, the covenant, the character and covenant. It speaks about the authority of the name. And so if you were tonight to come in the name of the United States government, you had a position in the government. If you were the president's right-hand man, you could come and bring the president's message under the authority of the president. The president being the one in authority, and you're the one who's authorized to bring that message and to do official White House business under the authority and the authorization of the president. Now, what happens if you step out from under that authority and start making up your own rules? Well, maybe in Washington, D.C. that'll work. But it hasn't always been that way. But it shouldn't work, right? We recognize it shouldn't work. Because when you're under authority, you are authorized to do what you have been told to do. Amen? You have not been authorized to function outside of the interests of the United States government. You have not been authorized to function outside of the dictates of the President of the United States, if you're answerable to him. But rather, you have been authorized to do his business and the business of this kingdom, this worldly kingdom, as you function in the instructions and under the authority that you have been called by. Begin to get a little bit of a picture here what we're talking about when we talk about the name of Jesus. Authority, authorization. It speaks also, thirdly, of the power behind the person. It speaks not only of the power, but of the ability behind the authority. And so Psalm 118 says this. I find these verses extremely intriguing. Because he says all nations, this is David, in his conflicts, in his warring days, all nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. That's interesting. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. So he has the power of the name and the authority of the name, and he has the ability of the name. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compassed me about, he goes on to say. Yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You get the point that David's trying to talk about the authority and the protection and the power of the Lord's name. Then he goes on to use a metaphor. He says, they compassed me about like bees. That's his enemies, that is. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. And so he has a covenant with God. He's God's agent doing kingdom business under the authorization of Yahweh and the power of God sustaining him. Some biblical background. Why don't you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18, because this name, the authority of the name, we have to clarify this a bit. Because not everyone who claims to be speaking in the name of the Lord is actually under the authority of the Lord. You know, talk is cheap. It always has been. I can tell you anything. Now, you may or may not believe it, depending on how good of a salesman I am. There's some good salesmen out there under the umbrella of the name of the Lord. And they're selling goods that God has not authorized them to deliver. Do you believe that? Or do you just fall for everything hook, line, and sinker that you hear or read on Facebook? Yeah? I hope not. I hope that you understand that not everyone who claims to speak for God speaks for God. And it's always been that way. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 19. It shall come to pass, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and to him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, this is Moses speaking, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who shall presume to speak a word in my name. Ah, there you have the false prophet. A prophet who shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded to speak, or who shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. The New Living Translation translates that phrase like this. The prophet has spoken it without my authority. In other words, he's using the name, but he's out from under authority. That's some biblical background. Another place where we find this happening is in Samuel, 1 Samuel 25. You recall the account where David was out with his band of renegades, and David was watching over the flocks and the sheep of Nabal, Abigail's husband. You recall this story, the account there in 1 Samuel 25. And so he sends his men to Nabal, and he says, there's a feast coming up, and I need some supplies. And by the way, I know it's not only a neighborly thing to do, but I've been watching over your flocks, and I've been keeping your shepherds safe out here, because whenever anybody comes to attack your property, I defend your property. And so, would you therefore loan me, give me, supply me with some supplies for my men to keep this feast? And the Bible says that David sent them in his name. In other words, as his representatives. And of course, they were rejected. So when Nabal rejected the authorized delegation of David, who was he rejecting? He was rejecting David. Then you have David in his carnal response, ready to go to battle. And he says, not only do I have authority, but I have some power too. And I'm going to exercise my power. And Abigail, of course, stepped in and kept him from exercising his power and ability in a wrong way. Now, all of this helps us to see what this name thing is about. What is it about? It's about authority. It's about relationship. And it's about ability. Now, the name of Jesus, what does it mean? What does it mean? When we use his name, it means that we are authorized to do official business, kingdom business, under the authority of the king, And that gives us the right and the authority to do the king's business. Now, let's go back to our text here tonight in John 16. And let's look at it more specifically. All that was just the introduction. The last part isn't even as long as the introduction. Don't worry. Thayer's Greek dictionary says about this on the name of Jesus. It says, His name is used for everything that the name covers. His rank, His authority, His interests, His pleasures, His commands, His excellences, and His deeds of the person behind the name. Let's look at this text for a minute and put this in perspective, because many people have used these promises in verse 23 and 24 and 26 and 14, 13 and 14 as a blank check to ask God and to demand of God anything that they want. And that's a misuse of the promise and of the name. Let's look at it. He says in verse 23, And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it. What you don't read in the English language, that you find out as you do a Greek word study, is that those two words ask are two different words in the original language. The first word, he says, in that day ye shall ask me nothing, is the word which means to question or to inquire, to ask a favor as an equal. As an equal. He says, you are my friends, he's told them. You are my disciples. Yes, I am your Lord, but you are my friends. You can ask me things on an equal level. He says, now, in that day, this day when he's distant from you and you're not seeing him, you'll ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father is a different word. That word is a word that has the idea of begging or asking or craving or desiring from an inferior to a superior. An inferior to a superior. Now let's unpack this just a little bit. The first word that I just described, the word that is on an equal level, you find in verse 23 of Jesus and his disciples. You find it again in verse 26. I will pray the Father for you. I will pray the Father for you. I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Again, as an equal. In fact, whenever Jesus is asking the Father for something, it's that word, an equal, requesting a request from an equal. But when you find man praying to the Father, it's the second word. You find that in the last part of verse 23. Whatever ye shall ask the Father, as an inferior, appealing to a superior. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask as an inferior to a superior. Not demanding. Not as a boss telling a genie or a magician trying to manipulate God to give us what we want. But asking in boldness. And where does our boldness come from? It comes from the authority of Jesus. Verse 26, at that day ye shall ask. Again, as an inferior to a superior. And I say not unto you that I will pray for the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you. In other words, Jesus says you can have direct access to the Father in my name, under my authority, and you can ask him so long as you remember that it's under my authority and it is an inferior requesting to a superior. Now you go back over to chapter 14. Verse 13, whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Again, that is that word of an inferior to a superior. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it in my name. Now let's put together what we've heard here today. When we talk about doing business in the name of Jesus, we're doing something that is consistent with His character and His covenant. That is consistent with His lordship and His will, and is consistent with His power. I once heard an illustration that went something like this, and I think it's one of the best illustrations that I know of to illustrate what Jesus is saying here. How many young men? Got some good, strong-looking young men here, up here in the front row. Got a few more in the back. One day I hire you to work for me and build me a fence. I got a little three-cornered property out behind my house. It's kind of no man's land. It's owned by the city, but they don't mow it. They don't use it. They don't do anything with it. And I want a fence around it. So I hire you. And I say, here's the supplies that you need. Here's my resources for the job. And as I leave for the day, I make a statement something like this. If you need anything, go to town and get it. Sounds legitimate. If you need anything, go get it. My name is, well, it actually isn't known all over town, but let's say if it was known all over town, it's a big town. And I have an account in various businesses. Leave you my checkbook, my credit card. And say, what you need, go get. All of a sudden, these three guys are out there. One looks to the other. It's hot and kind of grumbling. I won't say which one was grumbling. They look at each other and they say, you know, this Brother Todd, he didn't leave us enough water. We need something to drink. We're thirsty out here. All right, go get some water. Did I authorize that? Yeah, go get it. And then one looks to the other and says, you know, I've been thinking about what Brother Todd said. If you need anything, go get it. You know, my computer, I dumped water on it last night. And it's not working today. And I really have some schoolwork I have to get done in order to graduate. And I know Brother Todd said, if you need anything, go to town and get it. He gave me the credit card. I think I'll go to Mapletronics. That's what our local computer store is. I don't know what yours is. I'll go get me a computer. Brother Todd authorized it. Did I authorize that? When I said, if you need anything, the other guy looks to the third, to the other two, and he says, well, my relationship with Brother Todd is so much better than yours. I'm going to go get me a new truck. Because Todd said, and I trust him, I have a good relationship with Brother Todd. Todd said, if I need anything, I need a new truck. Have you seen that bucket of rust out there in the parking lot? I need a new truck. And we would come back from my day away, and I would say, what in the world are you doing? I gave you a job to do, and that was to build a fence. That was the context with which I said, if you need anything to do the job that you have been assigned to, you need water? Absolutely, go get water. You need food? Go get food. You need Tylenol? Go get Tylenol. You need a computer? Nonetheless, that's somehow related to what I've called you to do in the design, in the responsibility that I've given to you. Otherwise, you have stepped out from under my authority, and you are functioning without my authority. And what unfortunately people have done with this is they have taken this as a blank check to satisfy and to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And the rest of us have been so scared that we've reacted in the opposite way and don't even like to talk about the promise that He gave. That if you come in my name, and you're living under my authority. And your desire is to advance the kingdom of God, and you need something for kingdom business, and you need something for kingdom authority, you pray, you ask, remembering that you are inferior, but that you have every right and privilege of asking the very Father of the universe. Use it. Use it. It's about His interests, His pleasures, His commands. It's about His work, not about our desires. It excludes demands and commands. How would an inferior ever think that he could command something of a superior? And how would he ever think that he would have the authority to satisfy his own fleshly desires and demand that answer from God? So my question to you tonight is, are you living under the authority of Jesus Christ? If you are, you can pray, and you can pray with boldness, remembering your status in relation to God. But you can pray with boldness. The Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You're living under the authority of Jesus Christ. You're in kingdom business. Ask. You're called to preach. Preach with boldness. You're called to witness. By the way, Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name, under my authority, to advance my kingdom. You're out there as a witness. You need help. You need strength. You need whatever you need. Ask for it. You're out there building churches. You're out there, I don't know what you've got going quite for sure up here, the Solid Rock Cafe. You have needs to advance the kingdom of God. Ask, preach, pray, proclaim with boldness. But only when you're under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You step out from under that authority, and God is no longer bound to this promise. I want to just challenge you this evening as we bring this message to a close. Whose authority are you functioning under? Are you functioning under the authority of Jesus? Or are you functioning under the authority of self? Are we functioning under the authority of the name of Jesus and all that it represents? Brothers and sisters, the name of Jesus tonight is so precious, and it has such power. It has such beauty. When you're in relationship with Him, when you're in covenant with Him, when you understand His goodness and His grace and His greatness. A story is told of a woman who was on a mission field in a primitive country a number of years ago, brought her son who was dying. He needed to go 40 miles by wagon to the nearest doctor. She brought him, stopped at a place where there were some missionaries, and she went back out. She began her journey and turned around and came back, and her son had died. And she was distraught. She was beside herself. She went hysterical. She was uncontrollable. They couldn't get her away from this body, until a dear lady who loved Jesus went up to her and simply asked her, "Do you know Jesus?" And it was the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, calmed the troubled soul, calmed the troubled spirit. And very soon she was able to lead her away from that body of her son in complete calmness, because she identified with the precious name of Jesus, the authority of the name, the beauty of the name. And many, many times, the Lord Jesus, His name, has been powerful. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. Run under His authority. Run under His lordship. Run under His kingship. In fact, even the thing of talking about authority tonight, does that bother you somehow? We're living in an anti-authority age. Do you know that? Where we don't even like the term authority because we have been so influenced by our culture and we've been so influenced by people who have misused authority, claiming to be under the authority of Christ, but not being under the authority and using their authority not to advance the kingdom of God, but to advance a personal agenda. And we've reacted against that and we've come to the conclusion that we can be our own authority. Not so. The authority of Jesus is where the protection is. The authority of Jesus is where the power is. The authority of Jesus is where the peace is. To come under His lordship. But you see, when we think about authority today, we live in an age where you can just say anything you want to about anybody. And you can criticize the president. You can cut down the leaders in authority. And we kind of transfer that over into the kingdom of God. We don't like this thing of kings, do we? We'll be talking this week about the kingdom of God, about the kingship of Jesus. We don't like kings. Number one, the flesh doesn't like authority. The flesh doesn't like kings. And we in America certainly don't like kings. We threw out the kings 250 years ago. You can't be a Christian unless you have, in some way, shape, or form, bowed under the authority of the King, Jesus. So have you? Have you? When you pray, this praying in the name of Jesus is not a phrase tacked on the end of a prayer. It is a heart relationship in covenant with the King. In covenant with the King. Under the authority of the King. Under the control of the King. Under the lordship of the King. And oh my, there is so much protection and so much safety under that authority. You see, even coming out here, to do the King's business, kingdom building, there was some opposition that we faced from the enemy the last week. There was some opposition. My wife, I recognized what was going on, and my wife called me at the office that one morning after she had had a very fitful night where the enemy pressed in with fear and doubts and unbelief in her spirit and her heart and her mind. She called me at the office the next morning and said, "Oh, I just thought about why the enemy's pressing in. It's because of this week." I said, "Yeah, I thought about it." So we pray under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Lord, we're going out here. It's Your responsibility to take care of us. It's Your responsibility, Lord Jesus, to push back the enemy. And we'll pray. And You do the work, Lord Jesus. And then we'll do our part. In the name of Jesus." What I'm trying to say is there is protection under the authority of Jesus. There is peace under the authority of Jesus. There is authorization under the authority of Jesus. How else do you think that Paul, the Apostle Paul, could turn around and say to that demonized woman in Philippi after she'd been harassing him day after day after day for a period of time, I don't know why he didn't do it right away, and say, "In the name of Jesus, come out of her." What was he doing? Functioning under the authority of the King. Doing kingdom business. And experience the protection and the power of that name. I'd like for you to just bow your heads this evening and close your eyes and listen to some words of some songs. So many beautiful songs have been written about the name of Jesus. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears. 'Tis life and health and peace. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him. Love and adore Him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same as His lovely name. That's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching higher far than the brightest star. Sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim. What a lovely name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. His name shall be the Counselor, the mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Are you under His authority tonight? Is there someone here tonight who would say, Jesus, I have been practicing life in living life under my own authority, and it's time for me to come back under the protection of the name of Jesus. It's time for me to come back and bow my knee to the will and the way and the word and the wisdom of God. Lord Jesus, should there be someone here tonight who has stepped out from under Your authority, or maybe never come under it to begin with, may they recognize the power and the majesty of the name Jesus, Savior, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, and surrender their will under that name. Let's sing together tonight. Have Thine Own Way, as Brother Randy referred that song to us at the beginning. And if God has spoken to you about being out from under authority, under the authority of the King, I would invite you to just right where you are, get back under it. Run to the name of the Lord. And let Him make you what He wants you to be. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the Potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Brother Randy, would you come and close the service tonight?